Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone that's watching online. I don't know where you're watching from. It may be morning where you are. It may be the afternoon. It may be late in the night. But welcome to today's broadcast. It is yet a lovely day. It is the day that the Lord has made. It is the first day of April, and we are glad to be here fellowshipping together. Even though we are online, but we know that we are together, connected in the Spirit. Welcome to the month of April, everyone. And before we start, I would just want us to say a quick word of prayer. Father, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, because today is the day that you have made. Lord, the world belongs to you. Lord, you are the one that activates the world. And even the people, including I myself that is speaking, I belong to you. And we all belong to you, Lord. Have your way in our midst today, in the name of Jesus. Let your word transform us. Let your word, Lord, come as you have predetermined it in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. So welcome on. I would just encourage everyone to please pay attention. I mean, we are online. We may want to combine the things that we are doing. Multitask is what we use as a word. But not for the word of God. When you multitask with the word of God, it will not be effective for you. You have to pay attention. You have to concentrate and just focus your mind. And today, by the grace of God, God will touch our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in the month of April, and the theme for the month of April is create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. I'll just start by reading from Matthew 23, verse 25. Matthew 23, verse 25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, and that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and uncleanliness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside, you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Before I start, I just want to say a big thank you for Pastor for the opportunity to be able to speak and share with us today. It's an honor just to be able to share with the people. Over the years, I've been growing, and thank you, Pastor, for your word day in, day out, helping us to grow to become disciples of God. God bless you in Jesus' name. While I was preparing for this, something came to mind. There was a particular service while we were still meeting in person the pastor took. And pastor explained to us something about the mystery of when mold appears. And I remembered clearly, I think it was pastor that was teaching on that. It was pastor. And he talked about the fact that when mold appears, a lot of times what we tend to do is to want to clean it. And if the source of that mold or the cause of the mold is something that is structural, if it is something that has to do with the guttering or whatever it is, no matter how you clean the mold, it would always reappear. If it's a leak in the wall, if it's a leak in the plasterboard, if that source is not dealt with, what happens is you will keep cleaning the mold, you keep painting over it. And you keep working over it. And what tends to happen is at the end of the day, the mold will still keep reappearing. Main reason being that you've not dealt with the mold. You have only covered, you've covered the mold up, but you've not gone inside to remove whatever is causing that mold. And we understood that during that message, the fact that we need to go back to the roots of whatever is causing trouble. For us to be able to, instead of cutting off the tree and allowing the roots in the ground, allowing it to be able to grow back up again, that we should go completely and uproot whatever it is that is springing forth. And today, what we are looking at is the issue of the heart. And we understand that the heart is at the center of everything. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows all the issues of life. The heart is central to our will, our emotions, is central to our living. If our heart is troubled, even our body will be troubled, our soul will be troubled. If our heart is merry, you would feel it even in your body. So our heart is like the central system that allows us to be able to live day by day. And our heart is very important, because if you look at what God said, he said we should love him with the whole of our heart. He said love with the whole of your heart. And what the enemy always wants is for us not to be able to completely give the whole of our heart. So I'm just laying the foundation for what we're going to be talking about this month. It's going to be a beautiful month. The Lord is going to touch and heal our hearts in the name of Jesus. He's going to create in us a clean heart. The Holy Spirit will do that which he can do. He's the heart surgeon. He's the one that gives. God is the one that gives a new heart. And he will do so for us even as we continue this teaching over the course of this month in Jesus' name. While preparing, I just realized that, you know, that it's very, very possible for you to have an action that seems righteous, but the driving force in the heart is very evil. Where whatever it is, if somebody looks at it from the surface, it looks very good. You say, oh, this is a very nice person. But the intent of the heart is evil. What is driving it is very evil. And here Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he's saying that they are very careful about the external. Very, very careful about the external. They obey the laws, but inside of their heart is a lot of death, is a lot of rubbish, it's a lot of uncleanliness, while the outside is well painted. And are we not like that, brothers and sisters? We all look well made up. We look like as if all is well. We look like as if everything is perfect. But our heart is not in the right state. I was saying that you could have an action that sounds very righteous, but the driving force is evil. I could give an example from the church. We could go ahead and build a very big auditorium. But what could be at the center or at the driving force of it? Maybe a source of covetousness, where we are thinking that if we have a bigger auditorium, more people will come and more people can give. It may sound righteous. It may sound like a worthy cause, but the driving force is evil. And the Bible makes us to understand that God searches the heart. Have you ever seen a man and a woman come together and get married? And only if you could see the heart, because at the surface, everyone is smiling. But you don't know what is in the heart. And the Bible says God weighs the heart. And the condition of the heart determines what eventually happens. Whether you will sow unto the law of sin and death, or you will sow unto the law of life in Christ Jesus. So if the heart is not right, that's the foundation of everything. Then whatever it is that you build on that stuff is not going to be right. Why are we talking about the heart today? Why the heart? Why? The battle is in the heart. One thing I concluded while trying to prepare for this is that I said to myself, it's just a saying for me. I said, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. That was what I told myself. I said, at the end of everything, the contentions, the fightings, the temptations of the enemy, all the things that are coming, the information that is bombarding you, is to be able to drop a seed in your heart. Everything is working and battling for our hearts. Mark 7, 21 to 23 says, for within and out of the heart of man comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person. They come from within and they defile a person. Love, hatred, greed, covetousness, bitterness, fear, anxiety, weariness, defeat, sin, knowledge, all emanates from the heart. Whether you obey God or you disobey God is determined in your heart, is a preset condition. You obey in your heart first before you obey in reality. You sin in your heart first before you sin in the physical. One thing I learned is we understand that the things that we can see are framed by things that we cannot see. Also, when you see someone that is going through issues or is misbehaving or something is not right, you understand that what you can see is as a result of what you cannot see, which is the heart of the person, the wickedness in the heart of the person. And sometimes we think we are made up. If we read Psalm 51 from verse 1 to 10, when David committed adultery and took a step further and went on to commit murder, and then he had no clue that he had such wickedness in his heart. You could have asked David the day before, even after he committed all that he committed, when the prophet Nathan came around to tell him what he had done, he was so angry that, because they did not tell him exactly that he was the one that did it. He said that whoever does something like that, and that was just someone taking someone else's lamb, whoever does something like that should be killed. But he had no clue that in his own heart that he had such a great wickedness in him. The heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can understand it? That's what the Bible says. So obedience is in the heart. And likewise, salvation is from the heart. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart one believes and is justified. It's with the heart that we are justified. And that's why God searches our heart. Because salvation and justification, believing, is right from our heart. And it's with the mouth that we confess and we are saved. That's what Romans 10:10 says. So the heart is very key to our existence, to our race, to what we do on our daily basis. The heart reflects you, as in the water as the water reflects the face, so does the heart of man reflect the man. Who the man is really shown in what are the things that are in his heart. And that is why God does not look at the outward appearance. When Prophet Samuel went on to pour the oil on the brothers of David, he was looking at the appearance. But the Bible said, God looks at the heart. He looks at the heart, because when we look made up, we cover up every other thing that unseen. But God can see. Everything is open to God. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs his heart. Just follow us on this journey. We're just laying the basis of why in this month of April, we are talking and we are asking God to create in us a clean heart, a pure heart. Doubt and faith is in the heart. Doubt and faith is in the heart. So unbelief is in the heart. The state of your heart determines your fruitfulness. If you look at the parable of the sower, you would understand that all that the enemy was trying to do was to make sure there were four different kinds of hearts. All that the enemy was trying to do was to make sure that they were not fruitful. Because he understands that the first commandment of God to man in Genesis is be fruitful and multiply. And what does that fruitfulness really mean? If you look at what that fruit in quotes means, when Paul was explaining what the fruit of the Spirit is, it says love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And I just realized that those are the qualities of God. So God is asking man to be fruitful in his own qualities, to bring to bear the personality of God on earth. And the devil does not want that. And he understands that if you are not fruitful, you're going to be cut off. Because if you look at the story of the vine, that's what happens to any branch that is not fruitful. It's cut off and it's thrown into the fire. So the battle is for our hearts. And the main reason why we're also talking about the heart is because God focuses on the heart. God would not use you unless your heart is right. God is particular about the conditions of the heart. You know, they will talk about Saul. I told myself, I said, what did Saul do that made the Bible to refer to him as a godless man? And what really did Esau do that made him to be referred to as a godless man? And then David, on the other hand, was a man after God's heart. And I realized that it was the state of their hearts. David predetermined in his heart to obey God. David predetermined in his heart to submit his will to God. So that even if when he makes mistakes, when the light of God shines and it brings to light whatever mistakes he has made, he's very quick to go back to God. But what happens is, for someone who has not predetermined his heart to serve God, who has not predetermined his heart to make his word to become the authority over his life, even if the light is shining and you can see it clearly, the mistakes, they will make an excuse for it. Brothers and sisters, let us search our hearts. Let us look deep inside. What is the condition of your heart? Have you set that timeline ahead of time, that predetermined goal ahead of time? Pastor taught us something. He said, I could remember clearly when he said that you set your navigation before the start of a journey. So it is not when if you're traveling down to, let's say, London, it's not when you get on the road and you get probably to Wigan that you start to punch the postcode into the car. You set it. You understand where you are going to right from the beginning. And that's how the heart is also. Is your heart set to obey God? Have you set that goal that the word of the Lord will become the authority over your life? Or have you excused some aspects of the word of God permanently? Have you made excuse for the word of God? No, this is who I am. No, 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 this is our culture. No, 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 the laws of the land does not really agree. Here, Christ is saying that if you wash the inside, the outside will be clean. There's no need for you to spend 7 days fasting and praying and 21 days of worship and 18 days of... It's a waste of time if you are not ready to take care of the inside, because that is really where the issues are. Have you ever seen someone who is addicted to something and you try everything, all the physical activities, you download all the apps, let's say it's food, for example, something not too crazy, you download all the apps, or let's say alcohol, whatever it is, and you do all the physical activities to be able to get over it. We all know that that doesn't work. We've seen time and time again, you can go on a plan, if that thing is a root in the heart, if that heart is not dealt with first, you would always go back to the original state. And the question is, was it like this right from the beginning? In Genesis 1, when God created man, he said, and he looked, and he said, it was very good. At the beginning, it was very good. But something happened in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 2, just go with me to Genesis chapter 2, because all we are doing today is to lay that basis for what we are going to be doing over the course of the whole of the month. From verse 8, the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground of the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Then the Lord, from verse 15, then the Lord took the man and put him in the garden to tend and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, of every tree in the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die. And that was what happened in Genesis chapter 2. But if you fast forward to Genesis chapter 3, we all know that story. That even though God said that they would die if they eat that fruit, they still went ahead and they ate that fruit. Man went ahead, Adam went ahead and ate that fruit. We understand from James that through one man, sin came into the whole of the world. We all became partakers of the sin of Adam, through Adam. But someone may want to ask and say, oh, what happened? Because I was asking Pastor this question, and I was trying to explain, he was trying to explain to me that, or we were having a discussion about it, that the woman was tempted, but the man was not tempted. Eve was tempted of the devil. If you look in Genesis chapter 3, the temptation and the falling of man, the devil came around. And listen, brothers and sisters, the devil has been using the same technique right from the beginning of the world, and is still using the same technique. It can tempt, it can deceive, and it can accuse. When you are in Christ, there's no more than that the devil can do. It tempts, it deceives, and when he's able to get you to fall into that sin, he goes on and he accuses you in the presence of God. But the beauty of it is that we have an advocate now with the Father, which is Jesus Christ. And he's not an advocate that is on part-time. He's an advocate that is full-time, that speaks better things concerning us. Praise the Lord. Amen. So going back to how did it all begin? How did our heart get into this? The man fell in the Garden of Eden. He ate of the fruit of the of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil. And the knowledge of good and evil is just nothing else than, I've got this. I rather than me looking at the word of God to determine whether this is right, I would rather use my own knowledge to determine whether it's right. I would rather experience it, and if I don't like it, I won't do it. So, give an example in the word of God. Oh, honor thy father and thy mother. Yes, that is if the father is good. But based on my own knowledge, I don't have to honor my father really, or I don't have to honor my mother if they have done something wrong to me. That is the knowledge of good and evil playing. Oh, be subject to the laws of the land. Yes, be subject to the laws of the land. But this COVID crisis, they've said only two people can. But you know what? I need to see that person. I can still go on and I can still violate that particular law. So I'm just giving you simple examples where we reason out the word of God in our hearts and we make a decision in our hearts not to obey it. Do all things without grumbling. It's not possible for us to do all things without grumbling. And you know what? Let me just grumble small. There's nothing that is wrong with it. And we excuse out the word of God. And that is what the enemy does. That was what happened in the Garden of Eden. The ate of the knowledge of good and evil. And the knowledge of good and evil is what springs forth all sorts of things in our hearts. It springs forth all sorts of things. I mean, you get all sorts of information bombarding you daily, sowing seeds into your heart. And what tends to happen is when the word of the Lord, if you remember the parable of the sower, when the word of the Lord wants to grow in the heart, it's growing among thorns. And the thorn is choking. And the word and that seed is all it's doing is just working to be able to grow. And at the end of the day, I mean, I grew up with parents that they were partly farmers. My dad is a botanist, and I understand that if you allow the weed to grow with the plants that you want to grow, that plant will still grow, but it will have a stunted growth. And not just a stunted growth, it will never bring forth fruit. Because what he will spend all his time doing is competing for sun, competing for nutrients. And the weed, they act faster, they are smarter, they are more dynamic. They die quickly, they create more seed, they grow faster than what you're planting. Have you ever tried to have your lawn? And then after a year, you just realize that you have more weed than you have the lawn itself that you planted and you spent a lot of money on. And that's how it is. The knowledge of good and evil springs forth all sorts of thorns within our hearts. And what tends to happen is every time we go against the will of God, we are tapping into the knowledge of good and evil. And the knowledge of good and evil, if you remember what God said, He said, if you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. The law, the knowledge of good and evil that contends against the knowledge of the word of God in our hearts is always pushing us in the direction of the law of sin and death. Are you experiencing death in every aspect, any aspect of your life? Death within your career, death with your marriage. Are you experiencing death even in your body? Sickness in the body? Are you experiencing death in any aspect of you? The question is, can you check your heart? John 15 says that if you abide in me and I am my word in you, are you abiding in Christ? Is your heart right? Are there roots that we cannot see in your heart? Roots of bitterness, roots of unforgiveness, roots of evil that are hidden away and tucked away in the deepest, farthest corners of the heart. The call today is, do not tap into that same old sin of Adam and Eve. Tap into the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I wrote down here, I said, the first thing that sin brings about is fruits also. Sin also brings about fruit. It brings about shame. It brings about all sorts of stuff. I mean, the first thing we saw with Adam was there was shame. And then ultimately there was death. And it's like a pattern. It keeps growing. It keeps growing. Sin has power. The wages of sin is death. The power that it has is that it cuts us off from God. And it leads us onto the path of death. But you also have to understand that sin is always paid for. Whatever it is that is contending in our hearts, that is sin, that is great. The first thing is, what is sin? Sin is anything that is contrary to the commandment and to the will of God. Anything that is in opposite, that is contrary. Even if you obey halfway the word of God and you don't obey it fully, that is sin. Anything that is in contrast or contrary to what God has said, the word of God, is sin. And sin is always paid for. And the Bible makes us understand that the wages of sin is death. Well, brothers and sisters, I want to introduce you to another law. A law that can turn our lives around completely. I'm asking you today not to continue to struggle under the burden of all these issues in our hearts, working it out, trying to love by force, trying to deal with hatred by 7 steps to deal with hatred, 20 steps to have a good life, 15 steps. You see all those sorts of books, all those worldly knowledge. But in Christ, we have a new life. Today we are having communion service and we are remembering Christ. And we are having a call to every one of us today to say, whatever the state of the heart is, you know the state of your heart. Sometimes you cannot fully see our hearts for us. But whatever the state of the heart, Christ died for you. And Christ is the only one that can do that work of transforming our hearts. Christ is the only one who can change our heart. If you read Romans 5, I'll probably start from verse 13. It said, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not counted against anyone when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over to those who had not sinned in the likeness of the violation committed by Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the gracious gift is not like the offense. For if by the offense of one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift of grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on one hand, judgment arose from one offense, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the gracious gift arose from many offenses, resulting in justification. For if by the offense of one death reigned through the one, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. So then, as through one offense the result was condemnation to all mankind, so also through one act of righteousness the result was justification of life to all mankind. For as through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. The law came in so that the offense would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, so also grace will reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we found grace in Jesus Christ. And all he's asking for us to come to do today is to come to that throne of mercy, to receive mercy. Before you receive salvation, there's a prerequisite to it, and that is repentance. You repent, and repentance comes from the heart. Repentance says, Lord, I have sinned. I've struggled with all these issues in my heart. But Lord, I lay it down. And going forward, I make your word the authority over my life. I make you the authority over my life. I said, what can you do? What is your own responsibility regarding your own heart? The first thing you can do is to ask. If you look at Psalm 51 from verse 1 to 10, which is our anchor verse, Psalm 51 from verse 1 to 10. Sorry, I'm just trying to open it here. Here, David was crying out to God after he had sinned concerning Bathsheba. And he was asking for mercy. In verse 1, he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones that you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. In verse 10, he prayed a very critical prayer. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Today, I'm asking you, brothers and sisters, just to pray that single prayer. Create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And what is God's responsibility? God's responsibility can be seen in Ezekiel 36, verse 26. It says, moreover, I will give you a clean heart. Now, when you ask for a clean heart, God himself has promised that it will give you a clean heart and put a new spirit within you. And it will remove a heart of stone from your flesh and give us a heart of flesh. And it will put his spirit within us and bring it about that we will walk in his statutes and will be careful and follow his ordinances. I'm just going to just try to wrap up from here. We understand that the state of our hearts, the heart of man, is desperately wicked. But we also understand that if God wants to use anyone, he's careful to search for a man whose heart is after him. We understand that the justification, our righteousness, is from the state of our hearts. He said, with the heart, we believe and we are justified. And with our mouth, we speak unto salvation. And then we've spoken about how it all began. It began through one man in the Garden of Eden when Adam sinned, when Adam consciously sinned, because the Bible told us that Eve was tempted, but Adam was not tempted. Adam knew what he was going into. And a lot of times, let me just quickly digress here and just point out some practical truth to us. A lot of times we lay the blame of our sins on other people. And this is just a very quick digression, just from the sin of Adam. And We say it was somebody else that instigated us to do what we did. But the truth is, we know the law. We understand the word of God. And still, we still fall in the sin of Adam, falling into the transgression that leads us to death. Adam consciously fell. Adam knew the word of God. Adam knew the instructions. The instructions were given to Adam. Oftentimes, we know. Let me say, for example, as a husband, I know the word of God. I know that anger lies in the bosom of a fool. And then I say, oh, it was my wife that probably made me get angry. That was why I reacted the way I reacted. All I'm doing is just tapping into the sin of Adam, tapping into death in my heart. Are you saying, oh, the way I reacted at work was because my colleagues, they don't like me. They don't know God, but you know God. But all you have done is to do the same thing that happened in the Garden of Eden. Look into your life. Look at the things that you're struggling with and check whether you are not consciously disobeying God, consciously doing something that is wrong when you know what is right. And that's a very quick digression, because a lot of times we tap into the spirit of the law of sin and death. And then when we tap into it, we often don't know that we are tapping into it. And when the fruit of what we have done starts to appear, because the seed never looks like the fruit. If you ever pick any fruit, the seed does not look any way like the fruit itself. So when you are sowing those seeds onto seeds of sin unto death, you don't know until when you get the fruit. And then you're wondering, how come you are experiencing this fruit? And the Bible is taking us back to the case of our heart. It's saying that the Lord, that we should ask for a clean heart, a heart that is predetermined to obey the word of God, a heart that is predetermined to love God. I'm just going to stop at this point so that we can take the Holy Communion today. But before we do that, I would just like us to pray. And we'll be praying from that verse 10 of Psalm 51. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, because we know that indeed you are particular about our hearts, the state of our hearts. We understand that you expect fruit from us as your children, a manifestation of the qualities of yourself, O Lord. But Lord, we fall short of this because of the state of our heart. We come to you, O Lord, and we pray as a church, as individuals, as families. Create in us, O Lord, a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within us, O Lord. A heart, Lord, that pants after you. A heart that is predetermined to do your will, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm just probably just going to call on, probably hand over to Pastor.
Glory be to God. Glory, glory. Thank you very much for that word. A pure heart. You know, as you were ministering, I went to check the meaning of what it means for God to create in us a new heart, especially when we read that Psalm 51, what David was praying for, because we want to take communion, and it's important that we do this, like the Bible says we should. Anyone who wants to come to this place, this table of communion, he said we should first of all examine ourselves. We should. That's the first thing. We don't take the communion lightly. And you know, what David was actually praying for was that God, that word create, I think in Hebrew means bara or something like that. But in English, it literally means God birth something new. Birth something new. And one of the things we're learning about new, if it's not different, then it's not new. And that word again also means cut down, cut out. So for God to birth something new, God needs to cut down and cut out something that was there before. And when we look at that literally and practically, that word create also involves a breaking, a cutting, a separating. So if the old heart must be cut down and cut out, it involves dying to self. Something has got to give. Something has got to die. Something has got to be separated from us. And that's what we're going to the communion table right now. If we are praying from that Psalm 51 verse 10, create in me a clean heart. We're saying, Lord, cut down, cut out, break, separate, and birth something new. And it is not a coincidence that today is the first day in the month of April. And April, according to the Bible, times, and history chronologically, is the first month of the new Jewish year. So I want us to go, every one of us right now, as we are praying, as we are actually, sincerely, we are done with the old. We don't want the old. We want something new. And if we want this new, we have to do away with the old. Something must break. Something must be cut out. Something must go. It must go. So right now, I read to us, I will encourage us, please take the bread, take the wine. Let me give us some time to get that out right now. Let's get that out. You can take a flat bread or maybe cracker biscuit, just something symbolic. Because when you look at when Jesus was doing this before he died, Jesus actually was broken. Jesus was cut down. Jesus was cut out. Jesus was separated from the land of the living. He descended into hell. He died. He rose again. Something new was birthed. So that's the process. So what we're praying for and what we're about to do, symbolic, is what Jesus told us to do in remembrance of him. So let's take the bread tonight, and I'll read to us 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and let us look at something Jesus said very clearly that we should do. So I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we see, let me just read verse 28, which is the key tonight about us praying and as we take this communion. In verse 28 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let me read from the New King James Version. He says, but let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Brethren, as we take the body of Jesus tonight, can we examine ourselves? Let us examine ourselves. Let us ask, as we've heard tonight, for us to have that pureness of heart, we need a creation. We need God to create in us a new heart. We can't continue the same way and expect the new. We cannot continue in our old sin, and by the grace of God, we've been surviving. Grace The Bible says we can't continue in sin and expect the grace of God to abound. God forbid. So tonight, this first day, and if you're watching this broadcast and you don't know the Lord, you are not saved, or you're still living in your sin, don't try to patch it up. Stop giving excuses for your sin, like we, our brother shared with us tonight. It's that Adamic mindset that we must always explain away why we do what is wrong. Just own up. Own up. Lord, I missed it. Lord, I've done wrong. Lord, I've sinned. When you see David, David said, I have sinned against you. It's not even sin against wronging a man or wronging a woman. It's sinning against God. So tonight, it's a new beginning. Start this new year from this new calendar, the Hebrew Jewish calendar month, first month of the in the Bible calendar, with a new heart. So Lord, as we examine ourselves tonight, I read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I read, you said, when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, it says, for I have received from the Lord that which also, I've received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the same Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he gave thanks, he broke. Can you just break that bread? When you break it into two, just like we see that word create, what it means, there's a cutting, there's a cutout, there is a separation. And Lord, we give thanks tonight because you forgive all our sins, our iniquities, and bring healing. You heal all our diseases. The Bible quotes, and I begin to read again. He broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Can we take the body of Jesus represented by that bread or by that flat biscuit in your hand and thank God? As we take this, there will be a cutting, a breaking, a separating, and a birthing of something new in our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Verse 25, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Please, let's do this as we take the cup. Let's take the cup with just representing the blood of Jesus that was shed when Jesus was broken, when he was cut, when he was beaten, blood was shed. The principle of forgiveness is that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, no forgiveness, no cleansing, no purging of sin. And the blood of Jesus doesn't whitewash the surface. It goes deep to the root and deals with the root of the sin. The Bible says, how much more shall the blood, the precious blood of Jesus, purge our consciences from all dead works so that we may serve the living God? A purging. It's a separation. That which is buried inside is vomited and you're separated from it. So tonight, the Bible says in verse 25, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Please, as we drink this emblem representing the blood of Jesus, let every sin be separated from our lives. Let every sin be cut down and cut out. May we be separated, and may our consciences from tonight be purged from every dead work. May we receive a confirmation that we are forgiven, we are restored, we are redeemed, we are saved, and we are children of God. And all our iniquities is forgiven, and our healing is certain. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we just take a minute each, if we can? Thank God for what you have asked him to cleanse you, to purge you, to cut out of your life. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases. I thank you tonight for giving me a pure heart, for creating me a clean heart. I thank you for cutting down, for cutting out, for shaping, for forming, for breaking, cutting, separating me from everything that is separating, that has hindered me from the life of God and being the best of what God has created me for. Daddy, thank you for restoring us, your children. Thank you for accepting us in the beloved. Thank you for this new beginning for someone. Thank you for a new heart. Thank you for a clean heart. Thank you for this creation. Thank you for removing the old and putting in the new. For you promised us you will take out that stony heart. You will put in us a new heart, a heart of flesh, a heart that thirsts and pants after you, a heart upon which, Lord, is like a tablet which the laws, your laws, have been written, inscribed on. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And I pray right now, Lord, I agree with my brother Damola right now as we pray for everyone on this live broadcast requiring one healing, one deliverance. Father, heal them all.
Amen.
As your word has gone forth, confirm every word with signs following. Heal. Amen. Heal. Let everyone be made whole.
Amen.
Every weight whole. In the name Amen. Of Jesus, from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet,
Amen.
You are healed. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.